It was 2 weeks ago tomorrow that the Wisconsin State Supreme Court struck down Governor Evers' stay-at-home order. It was scheduled to expire originally today. Since then, a lot of people have headed to taverns, barbershops, and other destinations that were deemed non-essential during the shutdown. While there's now no statewide order in effect, there are still a handful of local stay-at-home policies. For example, Dane County allowed all businesses to open at 25% capacity this morning. According to the State Department of Health Services, nearly 7,800 COVID-19 tests were processed yesterday. About 280 came back positive. That's 3.6%, the lowest percentage in 8 days. A little fewer than 400 people are hospitalized. With a Memorial weekend in the books and summer-like weather settling in, how is Wisconsin doing in its fight against the coronavirus? Dr. Jeffrey Potthoff is the Chief Quality and Safety Officer at UW Health and an emergency medical physician. Dr. Potthoff, nice to have you back on Central Time.
Rob, thanks for having me on your show today.
Well, from your medical standpoint, what are your general thoughts about where we are in Wisconsin right now when it comes to COVID-19?
Yeah, I think for the most part, we're in a transition point. So Wisconsin, I think, was pretty successful early on implementing some mitigation strategies that helped us flatten the curve. Early on, when we were planning as a health system, we expected a full-on surge of patients, much like we had seen early on kind of in Washington and then New York. And through the efforts of really the community, we didn't have that kind of surge where we were overrun with patients. And now, you know, as time has gone on, we are trying to figure out how do we balance COVID-19 with the idea that we also need to figure out how to get our economy going. And that's where we are taking these efforts to hopefully safely do some things. And we know that anytime we mingle more, we'll see more cases. I think the jury is still out on, as we go about this, will we see, you know, small rises in cases or undetectable? Or will we not be able to do this in a safe manner and we'll start to see a more rapid rise in cases? In the next few weeks will help us see what happens.
Staying in the past for a bit, some people might read our numbers. You know, we didn't have that surge you mentioned. We didn't have that out-of-control spiral at some other places. I think some people are looking at that and saying, oh, the problem was overblown in the first place. We didn't need the safer-at-home stuff. It wasn't that big a deal. What would you say to that reaction?
Yeah, I think that's funny because early on, before we knew that flattening the curve was going to work, I had said that, you know, the best way to know that our mitigation efforts worked was people would say that we overreacted and this was overblown because the proof in the pudding is that you don't get a surge, you don't get a lot of patients. You know, in a way, I think it's good. It's kind of the evidence that we're looking for that says those efforts that people took were actually effective because naysayers may say, you know, we didn't have all these deaths. We didn't have, you know, all this disease. And that was the point exactly to prevent that.
Looking at the numbers again here in the state, have we seen changes since the Safer at Home order was struck down, at least so far?
Probably regional. I know here at UW Health, our inpatient volume of COVID patients is increased, and it's about 2 weeks since that Supreme Court decision. It's hard to know if that's directly related or if there's other factors. But the story of Wisconsin, there's been some regional variation in cases. Dane County has done a really nice job with flattening the curve. And then as you know, there's other counties that struggled a little bit more. Brown County had some hot spots. Rock County had some hot spots. And I think that might be kind of what we see going forward is different areas popping up based on different circumstances.
We could have, you know, extremes on either point, you know, full on safer at home, back to normal like it never happened, or we act like it never happened. What kind of precautions are you hoping that people take as they go back out to shop or work or recreate or whatever?
Yeah, as a healthcare provider, I like these phased approaches. So I think all of us realize that, you know, a hard lockdown, stay at home, going on for forever is just not doable. But I also think that some people think that because, you know, the lockdown is over, it's just back to how it was in May of 2019. And that's just not the case. That's an equally dangerous position to be in. So the idea that, you know, we get back into this, but we still preserve some of these mitigation strategies, most importantly, physical distancing. secondarily, keeping masked in these public places. I think those are the strategies that allow us to successfully determine if we can kind of roll back into this, keep ourselves safe, but at the same time, keep the economy going. So I think these are smart ways to do it. I think we should react to the data that comes back from that, and that'll be the way that we can actually move forward. What I'd hate to see is everyone kind of going forward like everything is back to normal and then find out that the disease is spiking and we have to be more restrictive again. I think that's the last thing anyone wants to see as we turn the corner into summer.
I want to get your thoughts on the wearing of masks. We see, you know, in the news, in places that have been hit hard by COVID-19, a lot of peer pressure to get people to wear masks. In places where it hasn't hit, we see stories of people being made fun of for wearing masks. Where should we be with the masks right now?
Yeah, I mean, really from the health and safety perspective, the mask is for the person who is asymptomatic, i.e. has no symptoms, but actually does have the disease. We know that those people can spread the disease fairly easily and infect other people. So if you're in a situation where you're in public and you're going to be closer than 6 feet to other individuals, all of us, even if we feel well, should probably have that facial covering on. And I know, you know, early on when we try to get people to wear seatbelts, we got made fun of for wearing seatbelts too. I think this just needs to be the new normal as we deal with COVID, that it is okay to wear a mask when you're in public because it keeps us safe. It keeps me safe. It keeps you safe. And it just needs to be something that we have better acceptance of in kind of our new normal of living with COVID.
And I want to key in on one of the points there. If I am that asymptomatic carrier, I have the virus, I don't have symptoms, odds are I don't know that I have the virus, right? Unless I happen to get a test for some reason.
Right, that's exactly it. It's not really the healthy people that we're worried about, and that's why the guidance on masks changed, you know, back in March. It really is people who will feel 100% fine but are spreading virus. And if they give it to someone who's going to have a bad outcome, I don't think that's something that any of us wants to do. None of us wants to make someone else sick.
We're talking to Dr. Jeff Potthoff. He's the Chief Quality and Safety Officer at UW Health and an emergency medical physician. Dr. Potthoff, I want you to take us into the hospital now. What have we learned over the last 2 months about keeping the patients safe and keeping the staff safe as well?
Yeah, we've learned a lot, Rob. So, you know, early on in the days of COVID-19, a lot of the things that we kind of accept as common practice right now, whether it be social distancing, masking, was pretty foreign. We struggled with testing ability. We couldn't test all the people we wanted to test. We were worried that we were going to run out of personal protective equipment. And those things aren't all, you know, 100% perfect. But for the most part, with time now, our PPE supplies are much better. Our ability to test is much better. We know that the PPE that our staff is using is keeping them safe. We know that it keeps our patients safe. And for those reasons, we've been able to turn back on some of those essential services that we needed to turn off while we got this all figured out. So, you know, the hospital today is different than the hospital that you might have been in January. We physically distance. We screen people when they come in. We check temperatures. Everyone is wearing a mask and a face shield. If patients don't have a mask, we provide them with one. And we're now able to effectively carry out normal healthcare services that people really need without exposing them to risks of COVID-19. And we think that's really important. We know some people were scared to come to the hospital because they thought they could get sick from COVID. We have pretty good data that says that's not the case. And if you need to come to the hospital for your healthcare needs, that's a safe place to do it. We've got processes in place that do allow us to do all these mitigation strategies while still provide really great healthcare to you.
And I've heard from a couple of other emergency healthcare workers who really wanted to hammer that point home. If you're having an emergency, the symptoms of a heart attack or stroke in particular, but others as well, still come to the emergency room. Like, that's not the kind of thing you put off because you're worried about the virus. I assume you agree with them too?
Absolutely. I mean, I've heard some stories from a few of our docs of, you know, patients who did put off those symptoms of a heart attack, did put off those symptoms of stroke, and now they're in a much worse position, and it breaks our heart because we knew that if had they come in earlier, we'd have been able to take care of that condition. They would have had a better chance. So we definitely want the message to be out there that if you need to access healthcare, if you need to come to the emergency department for chest pain or for weakness on one side of your body, absolutely do that. We don't want you putting that off right now.
How about those non-emergency procedures that were being put off? Are we getting somewhere close to normal scheduling for those?
We're doing better with it, and we really, you know, call it kind of essential services, you know, and a good example might be a hip replacement. We had some patients who their hip pain was so bad that they were basically immobile. They couldn't get around, and their quality of life was just horrendous. You know, and early on in COVID, those weren't, you know, life-threatening procedures or things that, you know, would save your life, and we would have postponed them. But we started hearing from providers that, you know, a procedure that they postponed for 1 month, 2 months, this wasn't something that we could expect to postpone for forever, that this was really impacting people's lives. So we're able to do more of those things. And we have our doctors prioritizing, you know, kind of the importance, not just from, you know, life and limb threatening, but also from a quality life standpoint. And we're able to get a lot more of those people in. We're still not back to normal. We're still not doing things that I would say are, you know, completely elective. But we are getting a lot of those things done that really make a difference in people's lives.
As you mentioned, we've learned a lot about COVID-19, and you're talking about in a hospital setting, how to deal with it. What are some of the open questions that you want to see answers for, hopefully sooner than later?
Yeah, you know, the thing that's on my mind the most right now is I think it's important that we're trying to reopen some of these things. And I see a lot of efforts by business owners to do the right thing, you know, providing masks for staff, marking off their floors with, you know, 6 feet of distance, you know, asking that patrons and customers wear masks and practice social distancing. What will be interesting to see is, you know, as we do this, will we all stick together and do these things, which aren't always fun, i.e., you know, queue in a line that's 6 foot apart or wear a mask into a store. But a lot of us realize that, you know, this is really the key to getting us back more normal. So over the next week or two, it'll be interesting to see when we get feedback from these businesses or we see the video on TV, are people doing these things so that we can be on a good trajectory of getting things going sooner? Or will they disregard some of these measures? And will we see lots of people congregating close together, no masks, and potentially then see more cases, which could actually set us apart from our shared goal, which is, you know, staying safe, but getting the economy going. So I look forward to seeing how we can band together and make sure that we're doing what we need to do as a community to get through this.
In our last minute, can you leave us with just your couple key pieces of advice for us as we go about our business, even if you're repeating yourself a bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, one, assess your personal risk. So if you're older and you have comorbidities, you should think a little bit more carefully about doing something in public than someone who has no risk factors. I think a big thing is to then think about the risk that you're taking on versus the benefit that you would get by doing some of these things. And something where you're masked and you're passing by someone very briefly in a grocery store is relatively low risk. If you're in a bar and you're not masked and you're close and you're speaking or yelling loudly, that's a much higher risk activity. And I think, you know, it'd be nice if people would maybe avoid those situations really kind of assess, you know, what is my risk versus my benefit when I do these things, and just encourage people to avoid these risky behaviors. COVID-19 isn't gone yet. It's still here. It's still making people sick and it's still killing people. But we need to try to do these things safely. And I think if we follow the guidance closely, we've got a good chance of doing okay with this right now.
Dr. Potthoff, thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Thanks for having me on the show, Rob.
That's Dr. Jeff Potthoff, Chief Quality and Safety Officer at UW Health. He's an emergency medical physician. We talked to him about how Wisconsin is doing right now in the ongoing effort to contain COVID-19.